It's a good one to have in our portfolio. And how I've approached this doctrine is by looking at the Holy Spirit from the perspective of dispensational realities. All right, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, this is also called pneumatology. Pneuma from the Greek, a study of God the Holy Spirit. Now preliminary considerations in regards to the third member of the Godhead. This doctrine assumes the doctrine of the Trinity. With the doctrine, there is an assumption of other doctrine. Doctrine interprets doctrine. As some doctrines, you've got to have a good foundation and base of understanding of other doctrine. And one of the doctrines, obviously, when you're dealing with a singular member of the Godhead, is recognizing what God is, who first and foremost. And that God is three distinct personalities with one essence. So this doctrine assumes the doctrine of the Trinity. The term Trinity is not found in the Bible, but it's a concept that clearly people understand by the use of the term what it means in regards to God. One, God is three distinct persons or personalities that are co-equal and co-eternal, possessing and sharing one essence, being undivided and indivisible. All right, I get to play with my new toy now. Maybe. Gets brighter as it warms up a little bit. All right, hang on. Aha. Done away with our overhead projector. And I'm using the iPad for our deal. It's not real big, but it's, and these are all, we scanned them all in, so they're not going to be as clear as we can always get them, but they do pretty good. And the cool thing about this is it works as a whiteboard. I can write on it. So that's kind of cool. All right. Here, the purpose of this overlay is recognizing that God is three distinct persons, but possesses the same essence, the same attributes. The attributes of God here expressed in regards to our overlay, as we understand God, were all three members of the Godhead equally possess each of these attributes and operate and function under them. His sovereignty, which is his will, his divine will. God is sovereign, and the fact that he is the creator of the world. His love, which most believers recognize that attribute, and it seems like it's the only attribute they recognize in many cases. But that which is motivates God to provide salvation for mankind. He has eternal life. God always has been and always will be. There's no beginning, no ending of God. And you can lay there at night, contemplate on eternity, and drive yourself crazy. He is absolutely righteous, plus R. God is perfect morally, ethically, and all other aspects of his existence. We call his righteousness the watchdog of all of his other attributes. God cannot do anything to violate his righteousness, or he ceases to be less than perfect. So that is one of his main attributes that governs and dictates all that God does, as it provides the, if you will, boundaries of his actions. He is the three O's here. He is omniscient. God knows all things. God's not learning in the process of learning from his creation or anything of this nature. There's not anything that God doesn't know. Anything that we can even come close to contemplating, God knows all that. He always has. He always will. He knows all people think at all times. He knew it from eternity past before we even came around. Hence, because of his omniscience, God is able to perfectly architect a plan. His omnipotence, that's the power of God. God is all powerful. He created our existing universe out of nothing, ex nihilo. And it didn't wear him out. In 6 days, six 24-hour days, he took our existing planet, and while it was under judgment in a ball of ice, because of judgment previous, he restored it back to the condition it is today. And he did it by speaking these things into existence. He flexed his omnipotence, and it occurred. And he created with age, with apparent age. See, that's seen in the fact that Adam and Eve were created and they were adults. He didn't create an embryo first and they developed. No, he created them as full-grown adults so they could enjoy one another as right man, right woman immediately. He is omnipresent. There's no place that God is not at. Hence, he can ensure that those who are positive receive a call in time because he's there. See, as we look back on doctrine, election, and calling, when we review that, he is immutable. That's what we refer to as God's superglue. This reflects upon the fact that God will not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, we can depend on God. We can depend on God that under his veracity, his next attribute, nothing but the truth, that it is the truth, and that he's not going to change in midstream. What we are doing today is in regards to pursuit of our Christian life and following the royal imperatives and doctrine itself in regards to the scriptures, these things will come to pass. They will be fulfilled. And then finally, his justice is that attribute that demands that God's righteousness is expressed towards man, that he's fair in all things. And God's plan of salvation is not based on partiality, not based on someone is, but it's based on faith. Those who are positive, that is the ones who will receive the benefits of his salvation, plan of salvation. Those who are not, they must answer to the necessity of his righteousness that he says we must possess in order to have a relationship with him in that regard. So God's three distinct persons all sharing co-equally, co-eternally, one essence, same attributes, undivided and indivisible. The Godhead, the three members of the Godhead, as we bring out here, all three members of the Godhead, point two, exist in perfect union and harmony with one another while maintaining distinct roles and responsibilities to the plan of God, with a simplified description denoting A, the Father is the architect of the plan. He is the ultimate authority of the personalities. He's the designer of the plan. Now, obviously, they're all in perfect harmony, so you have an overlap in regards to their function. But they do have predominant roles that are brought out in Scripture. And then you have God the Son, second member of the Godhead, who's the executioner of the plan. It is through his agency that salvation is provided for us through the incarnate Christ in regards to his work on the cross, his resurrection, and all these things. So he executes the plan, fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, etc. And then you have God the Holy Spirit, whom we are studying here. His predominant role is the communicator of God's plan. The communicator of God's plan. Three, now the three names ascribed to God attest to his distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. That specifically names the three members of the Godhead by Christ himself. Go therefore in the Great Commission and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the three names attest to his distinct persons. Confer 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, which would be the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now there's your verse that says we have fellowship with God the Holy Spirit. Be with you all. 1 Peter 1:2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measures. So you have the attestation of the three members of Godhead by name in these particular verses. For a further attestation or evidence to a multiple Godhead includes the trisagion of Scripture, where it reads, holy, holy, holy. That interpreters recognize as reflected upon God in his triune personalities. Isaiah 6:3. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Compare Revelation 4:8. The four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, the four supernatural angels here, they're all supernatural, but here specifically in regards to their form, who represent the throne of God. And they cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who is and who was and who is and who is to come. Giving credence to the entire Godhead for the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. B, you have the, quote, us, end quote, expressions of Genesis 1:26-27. God speaking. in the restoration process, and it refers to his person in the plural, us. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man. Who's the us? All three members of the Godhead in our image. Verse 27, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And there you have going from the plural to the singular, recognizing his three persons in one. 3:22 of Genesis. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. Then Genesis 11:7. In regards to the Tower of Babel and judgment upon mankind because of that. Verse 7, come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. See, you had the plural Hebrew noun for God, which is Elohim. El, just the first two letters, E-L, the entire thing is E-L-O-H-I-M. The singular is simply E-L. The heme ending is a plural ending in Hebrew. So you had the plural Hebrew noun for God, gods, literally, Elohim. And that term in and of itself is used some 2,570 times in the Old Testament. D, then in Isaiah 48:16, and 61:1, three persons are in view. These just as examples. Come now, come near to me. Listen to this. From the first I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. In regards to the Son, Yahweh. Reference to the Father and God the Holy Spirit in context with himself and speaking. And then 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God, this Lord there is Adonai, Yahweh literally, is upon me because the Lord has anointed me, looking in all three members of the Godhead and affiliation to Isaiah the prophet. So we have all these terms that point to God being more than just simply one person. All right, well, our time's up. We'll pick this up Tuesday evening. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things. In Jesus' name.